Mando kele kriste. Ha chikereste. Did I not say that my grace is sufficient, saith the Lord? Know this, that in all things, at all times, my grace is sufficient to bring you forward. Do not despair. Do not listen to other voices. Listen to one who keeps drawing you higher and higher, says the Spirit of grace. Know this, that there is a report of this world, and there is always a report from above. Believe the report from above, saith the Spirit of grace. Do not live. That's it. I heard a certain word. Do not live out of head knowledge. Live out of instinct, saith the Lord. Live out of instinct, saith the Lord. Live out of instinct, saith the Lord. Recline upon me. Do not waste your hours figuring out the process or how I might deliver you, but rather live out of the instinct of the new nature to believe something has happened before you see it take place, saith the Spirit of grace. Heratiado, ediato. For the head says, I don't know. How? Oh, but I say you do know how. You do know how. Turn your head off and turn your spirit on, saith the Spirit of grace. Edjao. For Satan will try to divert many of you this way, that way. Spend very little time in the things of the natural and increase your time in the things of the Spirit, saith the Spirit of grace. Move forward in me and know that the greatest witness of you taking the responsibility to solve the problem is when you take no care, saith the Spirit of grace. He caraso. For the enemy, which is a master of disguising himself, will come. Responsibility is what he presents as the forefront of care. Oh, but no, many have taken false responsibility and tried to do it in their own strength, believing at the forefront that they were taking on a noble cause to champion, or to do what is responsible. But I say unto you, take no thought for tomorrow, for the tomorrow will take thought of itself. Sufficient unto the end of that day is the evil thereof. My grace is sufficient for you for this day, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you plan that? No. Hallelujah. I feel like hugging all of you one by one for about 4 hours. Hallelujah. Why don't you give somebody a great big hug. I don't know that it could last 4 hours. Amen. Hallelujah. We send out, man, it's technology's wonderful. In fact, we've been seeing people filled over the phone lately, haven't we, Alex? Listen. Don't go along with anybody who tells you the computer's of the devil. It can be used by him. Technology's wonderful. If you don't have texting on your phone, and if you don't know how to send one, don't ask a teenager, ask a 5-year-old. They can instruct you. And I'm not trying to make you Dave brought a 88-year-old woman up. No, Gary did. What's her name? Margaret? Peggy? And she's downloading. She goes to the library and she downloads all the messages on the MP3. Listen, seriously, you don't have to get, I mean, teenagers, it's nothing to them. But I mean, now, the 8 and 9-year-olds. But I'm saying that really not to make you feel bad. But if you could have a phone that would receive a text, even if you can't send one, I can push a button because I have you all in a group. And I can send you an immediate prayer request where 50 or 100 people can read it. Saves one by one. Hello. And then there's the discussion over it. Well, I like talking to a voice. Listen, God created all this stuff for a reason. We need to access it. So you're in a group, and a lot of you have been getting texts, but if you don't have that on your phone, you're not getting it. So I'm communicating with you, but so get it, and just we'll have a class in here on how to do it, and I'll bring in a 5-year-old, and they can show you, because most of them can show you. It'll help you. It'll help me. Hallelujah. Praise God. But we've been getting people. You know, I knew that it wasn't just in here. I knew you could pray for people over the phone. You could send these handkerchiefs. It's global. It's global. Man, he's not going to be able to be contained. Aren't you glad? We may be a big part of the catalyst of this area right here, but it's going to burst outside of these walls. Hallelujah. The first couple times Alex came to me in the last couple months, and he said, I got somebody I need to get filled with the Spirit. I prayed with him over the phone and get him right to the edge. Where was the first guy at? He was up in Maryland. Was he in college? Or no? But he was in Maryland, and so you came over to the house the first time, and that was on a Sunday night, was it, or something? And so we talked to him, and what's his first name? Jamal. Really nice guy. I could tell he was hungry. He had done all the, you know, really the foundation. So I just took him through and basically did what we've offered to you guys of, you know, some of the how-tos, and that's on our website. And you don't necessarily have to use that verbatim. You know, do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do, but make it simple for them. And I found out this, even in prayer lines or over the phone, that, you know how they say an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure? I guess you could say it like just an ounce of explanation and wisdom is worth unbelievable amount of struggle. Just try to get somebody filled. Now, it is important that you believe and have faith. One of the best things I ever told anybody, just right off the cuff, was the Holy Spirit doesn't pray in tongues. And they have to think about that for a moment. And then you say, I'm telling you that is because you have to be the one to praise. In other words, you have to initiate it. And so if they understand that the initiation of it is on the same par of salvation, they did not see Christ walk in the wall, into the room. I mean, most people don't. I guess they could the moment they got born again. But they had to accept it by faith. And I tell them, look, that's the same way you have to receive the Holy Spirit, by faith. So you're the one that does the praying, which initiates. You got to breathe. You can't say, I love you, Jesus, and speak in tongues at the same time. You have to stop one language and start another one. So you really are the one praying in tongues, but he's the one that's sparring it. He's the one that's you know, bringing it up. He gives the word says utterance is the King James. He gives it. You speak it. So we prayed for Jamal and he got filled, man. He got glorious filled over the phone. And then the second guy was, what was his name? Jaron. Jaron was, I was coming home from Naples, and that was the night before I left the next morning to go to Dayton. and I was busy and I had not packed. And so he said, I know I hate to bother you, but I've got this guy and I've got him close, but I just can't get him started. So I said, can you call him three-way? Can you get him on the line and then call me back? And he said, sure. So we got him on the line. And the short of the long is that, man, as soon as we prayed, you could hear his voice go boom right into tongues. It was wonderful. Hallelujah. But I'm saying all that to say this, man, I'm really proud of this guy because he's graduated. Not just in saying, hey, these people need to get filled. Now he called me or texted me when I was sitting at the table the first day I got there with Dave and Gary. We were talking about some stuff. And I just said something, I think, about, I think maybe we mentioned something about what was going on down here or something. And you had texted me and said that, you know, that you had just gotten somebody filled with the Spirit. So you never told me, come here. I understand Alex ministered on Sunday night, and I bet it was really... And Friday night? Oh. Do I still have a job? Somebody should tell me this stuff. Tell me what happened with this other guy, because I haven't... Or these other people, whatever.
Okay, usually when I get... when I go to pastor and someone get filled, I put it online and more people... They get interested, and they're like, well, I want to know about tongues. You know, I want to get filled. So this one kid, he's actually in high school, and he messaged me, and he was like, man, I really want to talk about it. And we talked about it, and I broke down the scriptures to him, and then we're like, okay, we're going to try it. And I'm like, I'm going to take a step of faith. We're going to try it. Then I went through the whole paper that we have, and the first time it didn't work. It didn't work out. And I'm like, oh, man, I forgot something again. I'm like, wait, I can't bother, Pastor. So I tried again. And then I'm like, oh, it's not working. And we tried a third time. And right when we stopped, I'm like, okay, we're going to give up. We'll wait till 2 weeks whenever Pastor come back. And he got a word. He's like, wait, a word came out. And I'm like, really? This is good. And I start jumping around. And then we tried a fourth time. And he just started speaking. It was really easy. And like, it took me just trying. First, I bought, if you remember the first time, I bought a body there. I bought one of
yes,
my friends there.
That's right. That was the first
phone.
Time.
So now, I mean, a lot of people have been asking me. I haven't had much time, but it's really wonderful, man. And they're listening to Gary Carpenter teaching and some of our teaching. So they're really getting the whole deal, I think.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thanks a lot, buddy. So we're networking for his glory. And whether our names are mentioned or not doesn't matter. I helped teach or mentor him how to get people filled. Homer's been teaching him. I think Matt actually helped pray him through into, is that right? You got filled out in the parking lot, or was it at your house? So he prayed with you there. It doesn't matter who's doing it. We know where we're going. And we're all part of this great big puzzle, and it's like, whatever I've got, I can offer it. And it's good to be versatile. It's good to get trained in every way possible. So now you've got a couple under your belt, and you're, what is it? Oh, he forgot something. No, that's, he can talk into my, okay.
And the part I forgot, the kid that got filled, he got two kids filled the next day.
Oh, my goodness.
So I was like, first you beat me, but hey, you're still getting it out there. So.
This is better than upscale marketing. I mean, it's like, you know, this is a pyramid. No, it's not. No, it's not. It is. Jesus is at the top, you know. Man, this is network marketing, you know. Let's see, I got them filled, and they went and got two more filled, and those two got two more filled, and praise God. Hallelujah. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. It is so wonderful to be in your house. We love you. We thank you for where we're going. Lord, it'll be a mystery of how we get there because of how you do things is so miraculous. But it's not a mystery of the way, because that is coming on more and more and more. We understand how deliberate you are. You've not brought us into bondage, but you've prepared a path through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we love you so much, Jesus. We love you so much, Jesus. Blessings and glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Would you just lift those hands up just a little bit and just magnify Him? We love you so much, Jesus. I glorify you. You're so worthy, Jesus. You're so worthy, Jesus. You're so worthy, Jesus. Hallelujah. Your grace. Well, I think he just reminded me of what he brought forth in the beginning of the service. That tongue interpretation, which really was a tongue of initiating the prophecy that came forth. But prepare your vessels. These are days where it's really important for you to continue to do just what you know to do. If you're going to do anything, just continue to do what you're doing and increase it as the Lord gives you grace. Don't live out of your head, is what he was saying, but live out of your heart. Make all your decisions out of the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We're living in a faster pace, not only just in life, but there's a faster pace of going into His glory. And these kinds of testimonies are just going to be normal, but not just for the Spirit-filled testimonies, but testimonies of, I prayed and they were immediately healed. I prayed and immediately the Holy Ghost came. And we're already seeing that and we're already hearing those testimonies. But all the more as we get closer towards the end. Hallelujah. And we're having a good time going into revival. A good time. There's no other path but the one that He lays. And the Holy Spirit's the one that teaches us and leads and guides us into all truth. And His Word is truth. His Word is truth, and that's what you'll be fought for, is the maturing or the maturation, the maturing of the Word. Can you keep it? Because that's what he fought Paul on. He said, because of the abundance of my revelation, there was one that was given to me, a messenger of Satan, sent to buffet me. And he listed in previous verses all of the everything that scoundrel did to continually do. To tear him down. He was trying to tear Paul down to the point where he'd say, I give. I'll squeal like a little pig. I give. That last beating did me in. But he really came to a place where after God really had to indoctrinate him, Jesus had to come to him and say, listen, it almost seems like in the Greek that he, because of three answers, he was really... I bet the Lord would have said it four times, five times, six times. I mean, Paul's heart was sincere. It wasn't three times and you're out. It wasn't a three-time strikeout. It was whatever it needed to do to get across to Paul, but he had to have him by the shoulders in the Spirit and say, Paul, you don't think you can go on because this thing has been launched against you. I'm telling you, get it. Finally get it. My grace is sufficient. And Paul somehow got it. He said after three times, he realized God wasn't saying, or Christ wasn't saying, he said the Lord. He's talking about the Lord of the church, the same one that appeared to him on the road to Damascus. He finally got over to him, far more than dawning on him. It was a revelation. He's not saying that I'm having to put up with this. He's saying that in the midst of it, something greater than myself will encompass me. So that it's not Paul that's going through this, but it's Christ in me. And if I somehow learn this grace and really realize this grace, then I have taken the first step to shift out of the flesh into a place of the Spirit. And in that place of the Spirit, that thing has no dominion over me. Whatever it is that he launches against me is destroyed. Peace in the midst of it. sufficiency in the midst of it? Is there any loss? No sense of loss? Only joy, only peace, only restoration that camps out on me continually. So he had to make a decision. I'll switch. So that any time I see this thing approaching, or any time that he's close enough to be felt, this is my... He said, in the midst of weakness, that's human weakness, I find the greatest strength. That dependency upon him finds, I find the greatest strength. For when I'm weak, then I become strong. Therefore, as a result of that, I'll take pleasure. I mean, the man actually went beyond just a sufficiency. He said, I actually begin to take pleasure in these things. Because the pleasure is that I found that, oh, Christ comes in the midst of them. And to commune with Him not only lifts me up above it, it seats me in a place with Him where fellowship is so strong that it feels like this isn't Paul going through this. This is Christ in me, the hope of glory. He said, therefore, I take pleasure in these things. Hallelujah. Now that is a place of knowing Him. Hallelujah. Prophetically, He wants you to know that as things increase, that's going to have to be your stand. That's not a stand of weakness. That's a stand of strength. Peter, 1 Peter 4, he said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing was happening or had happened to you. Now, the reason why he said to not think it strange was that something metamorphosized, something morphed in the way in which it was a normality for Satan to come and try to take your peace and to take the word. He'll only come. It's all umbrellaed. There's nothing outside of this. Mark 4, Jesus said, the word is sown, and immediately he comes, the tempter. Now, if you walk into him, and when the word is sown, that's not just me giving this to you tonight. That's your private time of meditation. That's your time of worship, because even in worship, that word is being sown in your spirit. You can hear the Holy Ghost talk to you, speak to you. But there's a challenge to that, because with every level that you go, you have to understand that you're getting closer to being conformed to the full image of Christ. And really, the enemy can't afford that. If you're that ambitious to say, I've got my life, I've got my family, I've got this, that, and the other, but I really believe that being a human being, I can go on a journey that systematically He'll take me into the glory, so that when it's all said and done, I'll be used for this final outpouring. I mean used dramatically. So, Peter described an attack. Jesus said this, He'll come immediately. He said some immediately. He took the word out of them that was sown. That was the preacher, preached the word, the testifying of the gospel. And he said Satan took it immediately from them, and they bore no root. In other words, they weren't even saved. They heard the word, but it was taken out before they could even. But then he said the next bunch, it was sown on stony ground. And then he said they received it with gladness. I mean, all the time we hear people, when they hear the message and they hear the word, they like what they hear and they talk a good talk. But he said he's got a plan for that. Sickness, afflictions, afflictions and persecutions. He said, what was sown on stony ground, because they weren't, he said, the root didn't go very far because the depth of it couldn't. And then the initiation, the plan, the test of afflictions and persecutions would just eventually, most people like that, they never sent away their salvation. Most of them make it to heaven. They're just dormant. They're just not in the flow. They're asleep. They're the church that's asleep. They get there and 10 minutes after we're all in our new bodies, they're, oh, man, what happened? Oh, we just went through a great outpouring, maybe the tribulation and everything else, and you've been asleep all this time, but thank God you had the new nature in you. You're here. Hallelujah. So wake up. We're in heaven. Glory. Hallelujah. Let's party now. Oh, I've been asleep for half my life. Because persecution and affliction, those kinds of things. And it said the next bunch, they were sown where thorns. He said the cares of this life, deceitfulness of riches, and lust of other things. See, he's got a, and it didn't matter. I mean, wherever you say, well, he's been coming at me in my emotions, or he's been coming at my family, or he's been coming. It's all in all that. It does not, Jesus exhausted all the different ways in those categories, possibly, that Satan could come at you. The choice was this: will the word mature in you? Will you fight back? Will you follow the path? But this is what Peter said. He said, don't consider it strange, the fiery. He didn't just describe it as a trial. He said it was a fiery. I mean, it had something behind it that just seemed like there was a blaze. Have you ever had it come where it seemed like there was more fires to put out than you had something to smolder it with? He said it was a fiery trial, but this is the amazing part. He said, think it not strange. The trial, fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing, like you were mesmerized by it, because what was working in your stand before doesn't necessarily seem to be having the effect. It seemed like that thing morphosized or went to a higher degree. Well, the rules of engagement do change. His rules of engagement. I remember that one year, just, I didn't even know what an ambulance was, except I'd pray for people when they were going to them. And in just a few months, I had three of them call to me. And I was like, I even had to call Dave one time. I know I'm still praying. Let's see, I just had a motorcycle wreck. My chest tore open, and my insides were hurting so bad that they had to rush me to the hospital. I'm praying. I know I'm praying, and I'm fasting. And it wasn't anything I was doing wrong. It was everything I was doing right. Well, why then did this happen and that happen? Well, I come through it all. That's all that matters. No operations, no ill effects, nothing. I'm not dead. But while it was going on, it seemed like a fiery trial. It seemed strange to me. Other things since then have seemed strange to me at times. Why? Because it's like, now I started out here, and everything usually, based on my knowledge of the Word and how I implement my forward stand, usually drives anything off like this. This thing, and I'm just speaking by way of example, this thing seems to be increasing. That's when he would like for you to take a step back, the enemy, and say, wait a minute, I question all that I've learned. Listen. It's not that you're doing anything wrong. He wants to take the word out of you. He said, don't think it strange. Like, wow, oh, wow, let's really consider this. No, listen. He's a devil. No more different than any other devil that you've ever stepped over at any given point. And if they come and they increase and if this changes, okay, you won this in your life and now you're facing something else. And it seems strange to you at times like, well, we got through that by, let's see, we were quoting the word at the time and I was spending this amount of time and I was, but this seems to not be going away or why is it not? Listen. He's only after one thing. He's after the Word of God. What you know and what you believe and the stand. But the key word is endurance. It's endurance. It's always making your stand and then knowing this, that by the time, that was in chapter 4, by the time you get to chapter 5, he says, now here's how you come out of it. Always. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you. He said, all of you humble yourself one to another. He said this, that Satan goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. But prior to that, he said, casting all of your care upon him, all of your care. And then he goes on right after that to say, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Well, humbling yourself is not putting on rags and saying, I'm just a poor, pitiful me. Somebody meets you at the door. What's the long face? I'm humble today. Humbling yourself is this. Can I describe it to you? Against all hope, believing in hope. When all arguments say, this thing has metamorphosized. This thing, I've made this stand before and it went away. Well, then you start trying to figure out something else. Don't try to figure out anything else. Only the Word works. Only the Word works. Only the Word works. Humbling yourself is to say, look, I'm going not to try to figure out something else. I bend my knee to the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. If a path has been laid to me that's just as sure as the cross, because look, If he died on a cross and that was sovereign, God planned that from the beginning, then wouldn't the way to the cross, I mean everything that the power that of the cross empowered you in, all the inheritance, all the freedom, everything, wouldn't there be something set in order that would be just that sovereign? Just that wise by God? It shouldn't be like, how do I stay free? The wisdom of the Holy Spirit. As the gift giver, as the one who leads and guides us into all truth. When we take a seat of pride is when we don't understand it, when we begin to figure it out ourselves, and then we stop doing the things. See, if I tell you, look, praying in tongues in the midst of a trial is somehow, I don't know how, but it will lead you to the other side. There's a wisdom of God. There's a divine compass in that that always reads true north. And you can't mess it up. Well, you don't know what I'm doing. I'm messed up right now and I can't even think and I'm confused and my mind's all messed up and I don't know if I hate them or if I love them. I don't know if I'm want to serve God or I don't want to serve God. I don't know if I... Listen, you have a mediator. You have somebody that will mediate this to God. He will mediate it all the time. He will continually pray. Now, if you believe that, you've humbled yourself. If you say, my mind doesn't hardly believe it, but okay, I'll accept it. It doesn't even seem to be working, but I'll accept it. Then you have bent your knee and humbled. If you believe that the word spoken, if you believe that you stand in the midst of darkness and speak the word against fear and anxiety and things that will come, if you believe that and you humble yourself, but the moment that you say, I'm just gonna take a break from this. I'm just gonna, you know, go buy a bunch of bonbons and I'm just gonna, you know what? maybe if, you know, I know the Lord's trying to pray something through me or pray something out of me. The end of this is he does promise you this. If you humble yourself, is that before it's over, God will. He said, after that you have suffered a while, God will strengthen, settle, establish you, and make you perfect. Hallelujah. Meaning there is no trial that at the other end of it, God doesn't have a remedy. There is a place of dominion. Now, the dominion's already there, but it's got to reign through you all the way to the end. And the part of you that needs to have growth is the part that's usually dying in the midst of. It's not God that's sending it, but it's part of you that's dying. Now, if you get into prayer and that part of you that's dying comes up and you don't like it, if you say, okay, I'm miserable because God brings this up every time I come into prayer, I'm going to take a little sabbatical. I'm going to go away for about 3 or 4 weeks from my prayer closet. Not backslid. I'm not going to pray. I'm just going to try to enjoy, you know, a reasonable life. I mean, everybody else has a life. Maybe God will forget about that. He's got the best memory in the world. You come into church and you hear a message on prayer and you say, okay, I'll go back into the prayer closet. I'll pray. I love you, Jesus. I love you. And you're not in there 5 minutes and he brings up the same thing that you walked away from 3 or 4 weeks ago. Why? Because that's the part in you that's not yet perfected. That's the part in you that he's asking for permission to come and change. And the sooner you say, yay, the sooner that he's able to step in and change whatever it is on the inside of you that needs to be changed. And guess what? It doesn't matter how many times the enemy comes, how many times he metamorphosizes, morphs himself into something else. Paul said this in Romans 8, I am persuaded. Here's a man, 67, 68. He didn't live a long time. In fact, he made his choice. In one place you see him writing saying, I don't think I'm going to go now. And then later, he chose. Okay, now I'm going. I choose to go home. He had that choice his whole life. But in Romans 8, he comes to the end of it and he said, I am persuaded, I have come to this persuasion in my life. Nothing is able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Not persecution, not peril, not trial, not any kind of angel. Not any kind of angel. Nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Do you know a way to get in that love and stay in that love? Jude 20 says, building up yourself, your most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we just love you. We love you so much, Jesus. We glorify you. We love you, Jesus. Manda kalese diate. Mando kalese diata la crostoto. Okay. I did a little instruction there. So he said, anybody that I think probably in this crowd, everybody's filled. But if you are here and you're not filled, then this is a perfect time. But if you're here and you say, well, I'm either not filled or I've had something camping, like something come to camp and it didn't go home, like camped on your ability to just fluently pray in tongues. Either something would come and begin to try to shut you down, your faith to do it, or you just feel like I've only got a syllable or two at times, or just barely there. Well, he wants me to pray for you under this anointing. Hallelujah. So is there anybody like that? Anybody that needs prayer? Just having a hard time spending a whole lot of time. Hallelujah. Come on. Yep. Thank God for people that are honest. Praise God. Amen. Just stand right here. Hallelujah. Barbara and some of you ones. Come on up. Marty and Gay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Now the same instruction applies. It doesn't matter if you've been prayed for before, or you know that you've prayed in tongues before, or you've not prayed in tongues before. It is an act of your will. It's an act of faith. And as I said at the beginning of this service, not knowing I'd come to this point, that it's a point of just believing that you can't outrun God. In other words, you can't begin to speak that He doesn't fill your mouth with the words that are coming up from the Holy Ghost. So we initiate this by faith. And you, many of you, good, I'm glad you're here, son. Many of you have heard me say this before, but I'll repeat it again. This is a fruit of this teaching, but it's the character of God, so it's applicable for me to say this. Jesus said, if you ask the Father, you know, He really turned it and said, parents won't give their children anything evil. And so He said, if you ask the Father of the Holy Ghost, He'll not give you something evil. And the beautiful part of that is this. If you ask in sincerity, well, so I don't know, you know what? There's no way that you're not standing up here and not sincere. You're sincere.